This is New England Public Radio. I'm Carrie Healy. As outbreaks of measles continue across the country, including the Northeast, public health leaders are doubling down on the importance of childhood vaccination. Since doctors already know the science behind vaccine safety and effectiveness, researchers are focusing on the best ways to talk about vaccines to wary parents. New England Public Radio's Karen Brown has the story.
All right. So he's getting the hepatitis A and B today.
It's a light day for well visits at Amherst Pediatrics. Only three children are due for shots, and all the moms accept them gratefully.
Super, super quick, sweetheart. I promise, okay?
But the same can't be said for all the children. This type of vaccine resistance is relatively simple for providers to handle. Much harder is resistance by parents, especially in Western Massachusetts, which has higher than average rates of vaccine refusal. At Amherst Pediatrics, the exam rooms and waiting areas are covered in posters about the importance of vaccines. Still, pediatrician John Snyder says he has to convince at least one parent a week.
Not because of some strongly held belief or feeling, it's more they have heard so much in the public sphere.
The modern movement against vaccines took hold in the late 1990s after a now debunked study claimed there could be a connection between vaccines and autism. Today, the scientific consensus is that all common childhood vaccines are safe. But providers don't always know how to make that case.
The science of how we convince people to be confident about vaccines is at a very early stage right now.
UMass Communications Professor Devin Grayson studies what works and doesn't in convincing families to vaccinate. Her research shows doctors have the most success when they simply announce it's time for shots, but don't invite discussion. Amherst Dr. Jennifer Roach has found that to be true.
Yeah, I try not to go into a lot of the controversy. I come out with a very strong statement and say, you know, this is your child's 11-year visit. At their 11-year visit, they need these three vaccines, and this is what it's protecting for. And I leave it at that.
But sometimes a parent pushes back with questions. In those cases, Roach calmly explains what the popular myths get wrong, from the false connection to autism to the belief that too many vaccines at once overload the immune system.
It's great when the family will say what they've heard or what they're concerned about, because it's often very easy to dismantle that.
Many doctors tailor their approach to each family and where they fall on the vaccine comfort spectrum. Experts estimate that 2-5% of parents in the U.S. are vehemently against vaccines and not likely to budge. Dr. John Snyder.
You know, there's nothing you can do for those people. There literally is, it's a waste of time.
He says much more common
are the ones that, you know, have some more significant concerns about vaccines, but they aren't firmly held beliefs.
Stay over here so you don't get poison ivy.
Leora Brown is in that group and one of the few vaccine skeptics I found willing to talk publicly about their decision making.
I am going to have to tell everyone that you are my sister.
Okay.
My sister Leora gave birth to twins about 3 years ago in Virginia. When it came time for vaccines, she and her husband had heard the stories.
One friend thought that her child got autism, and I know that's supposedly been disproven since then, but it made us want to do a little bit more research.
But she says her pediatrician did not want to engage in a debate.
They did give us pamphlets about all the vaccines. It didn't give us any of the arguments, the pros and cons. It just said basically the pros of doing the vaccines.
At this point, Leora says she was somewhat frustrated, wanting more of a conversation with her doctor. For those conversations to go well, Devin Grayson of UMass says doctors should start with the assumption that every parent wants what's best for their child. They just need the right information. Even Grayson herself was once vaccine hesitant. Her own child was born just after the infamous autism vaccine study came out in 1998.
One of the most prestigious medical journals in the world had published a very small study, which turns out to be terrible, unethical, and fraudulent. But at the time when it was newly published, that hadn't come to light yet. So that gave me, I think, the perspective that not all hesitancy about vaccines is irrational.
Today, she is strongly pro-vaccine, but her research has found that shaming people for their vaccination views only makes them more entrenched. Instead, she recommends doctors tell personal anecdotes, either about giving their own children vaccines or about bad cases of vaccine-preventable diseases. Some doctors go so far as to decline to treat families who refuse vaccines, which can function as a type of persuasion. That's what happened to my sister Leora.
And they said, you know, either you do it or you need to find another practice.
And frankly, it worked. She agreed, reluctantly, to the vaccines because she didn't want to switch doctors. In retrospect, she's glad it worked out that way.
Considering that I don't feel like they've had any negative effects from the vaccines, I'm very grateful now that they don't have any serious diseases or the risk of it.
But many doctors are against this hardline approach. Jennifer Roach never turns away anti-vaccine families, partly because as she builds trust, they sometimes change their minds. And even when those parents remain steadfast in their beliefs, the children are always in the room listening.
We have had several patients that have turned 18, have not been fully vaccinated, and have come in and chosen to begin vaccines.
So far this year, the CDC has reported about 1,100 cases of measles, the most since the disease was declared eliminated almost 20 years ago. And for some, that's one of the most persuasive reasons to vaccinate. For New England Public Radio, I'm Karen Brown.